stop. Lex and Stacy's threesome.
Hello, everybody. It's Lex and Stacy, threesome podcast number 63. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bitches.
It most certainly is.
All right. So there's a lot of stuff in the last couple of podcasts we did not get to. So we probably, if anything is still of relevance, should. Because stuff is piling up like crazy. Yes. I know you got some Donald Trump stuff. There's new things that came to light about him and Neil Young that are pretty interesting. That I'm having a very hard time taking Neil Young's side on, to be honest.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Apparently, there are pictures and signed documents that Neil Young and Donald Trump have done business together to help with one of Neil Young's music platforms.
Oh.
So,
well, that doesn't mean anything, though. You can do business and still then not have your song, one of your things that you are best known for, represent the man in a political way.
I disagree. If you use that guy's business acumen and his money to further yourself, you pretty much shouldn't have said shit when he played your song. Sorry, that's just the way.
But that's different. You can do business with someone.
No, it's not. It's not different.
Yes, you can. You can do business. You have your doctor, and your doctor, you know, takes care. You know, will cut you open and repair your heart. But you know, there are things about him that you don't like that you would never vote for him if you found out he was running for president.
So what?
Well, that doesn't mean just because he cut, you know, did open heart surgery on you that you had and support him politically if he were going to run.
I totally disagree. If you go that deep into business with somebody where you're talking millions of dollars and you've got pictures with him in his suite, in his office in New York, and He comes away with that like, hey, cool, I did some business with Neil Young, this is awesome, and he uses a song that he more than likely had to pay the licensing on, along with the 9 or 10 others he used, to use. Too fucking bad. Really?
Again, though, if you're, I disagree with you. Sorry on this one.
And it's a song, you know, that's on the radio, on albums, it's all over the fucking place. You know?
Well, that doesn't mean that you can't use it without permission. I mean, that's why you don't broadcast Legend Cast anymore, you know, release it, because you don't want to have to pay the royalties. I don't know if Donald Trump paid royalties on using Neil Young's song, but if it was implied because he did business and you said it was with a music platform, that's not politically involved at all.
It's gauche, Stacy. There's many, many people he could approach to do business because he's fucking Neil Young on a music platform. But Neil decides to go to Donald Trump because he'll do it. Who knows? Maybe
because he's got the money, because he wants to invest, and because, you know, Donald Trump is enough of a show business whore that, of course, he would want to get his fingers all over something musical, you know. It makes sense, but that does, again, has nothing to do with politics and whether or not, you know, he would make a good president or if you would support him.
No, I'm sorry. Whether you make perfect sense or not, the shine's come off of Neil Young for me on this. And if I were Donald Trump, I would have done the same thing to him. I would have tweeted what a hypocrite he is.
That right there, and what I have with news-wise with Donald Trump as well, issue with the jackass, is he He's like Sarah Palin, except I will say smarter. He's very vindictive. He has a little zinger for everyone and everything. And that actually, I mean, yes, we've talked before about, like, you know, you want the tough guy like Dick Cheney, who can sit across from Putin and like stare him down and be intimidating. Donald Trump isn't intimidating. He is a bully. And I could see where, say, God forbid, he became president of the United States, his mouth would get us into so much trouble all the time.
Yeah, I don't want him to be president of the fucking United States. Oh, I'm just saying.
I don't either.
I'm just saying he's right here. That's all.
He's pissed because he assumed. And this is just what I'm going. I'm assuming that he assumes something, and he's pissed because it made him look bad. Which, you know, he can do all on his own very well, like with the whole Mexican thing.
I think because it would have gotten out, he did do business with Neil Young, ultimately, is why Neil Young's pissed. I don't think it has anything to do with his liberal values whatsoever.
I disagree again.
Of course you do.
Yes, I do. Does that mean, as me as a liberal, I have to now go only to store owners who are liberal, and I can only do business with liberals, and you know, people who are conservative, can only go to your bakeries
that
don't serve gays.
I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying once you do go do a deal with somebody else who's not of your political ilk, take your fucking medicine when he uses something of yours.
Okay, let's pretend right now. I mean, if you go do business, I mean, for instance, the people that host the Lex and Terry website, do you know what their political leanings are? You know, and so they, one of the guys there decides to run for president and somehow uses something of Lex and Terry's to promote a conservative platform. Aren't you going to be a little pissed about that? But you did business with them.
I would handle it much different than Neil Young would, for starters. First, I'd say, yeah, I'm not really politically in line with him. Great at running a software company. I'm flattered they want to use a soundbite off the show, but I don't feel the same way as he does politically, just to be clear. But nice person. Good businessman. Do I think he's?
I don't ask every person that I deal with in my life what their political leanings are.
Well, the scenario I just gave you was indicative of me not asking. It's indicative of me finding out and somebody asking me.
If Neil Young and Donald Trump were doing business, and I don't know anything about this, but from what you said, doing something with some sort of music platform, I could see. Like, putting myself in Neil Young's situation, you know, I... Nothing to do with politics. It's music. It's rock and roll, man, you know? It has nothing to do with that. And then to find out now that because you did business, he's King Douchebag running for president as a Republican and using your shit, I would also be a little pissed.
Not at all. Neil, here, you come to me and tell me as Neil Young that you heard Donald Trump use my song. And I'll tell you exactly what Neil Young should have said.
Okay. He's using my song and I don't like it.
No, you come to me and say, hey, Neil, Trump used your song, Rockin' in the Free World, to announce his presidency.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Mr. Young, I have some bad news for you. It would seem that Donald Trump... using as part of his presidential campaign as a Republican.
So? It's a great fucking song.
And come on, Neil Young, Stills, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, all of those guys, they were political.
Listen,
Stacy.
It's
not like Katy Perry was being used for something.
Listen, Stacy, it's a fucking song. You know, it got played on the radio. It got sold to people. You know, the guy, it obviously reeks of something any politician on any side of the ledger could use. It just happened to be him. So my comment would be, well, I can't believe that's the one who had the genius to use it, but okay. And when the media comes to talk to you about it, you say, yeah, listen, it's a song that's been out there for a really long time. You know, people play it and use it, and it's a good song to use on anything having to do with America and its glory and everything else. So, yeah, somebody used it. Yes, I did.
Okay, Hitler, still alive and well.
Yes, I did a business deal with him a while back.
But had nothing to do with politics.
Yeah, but that was quite a while ago, but yeah. Do I hang out with the guy? No.
Will I vote for him? No.
But I don't care if he uses my fucking song. It's out there for anybody to use. When I wrote the song, I didn't write it for Democrats. It's a fucking song about freedom.
Hitler is alive and well, and he gets interviewed by Fox News. And they ask, hey, who do you listen to in the morning? And Hitler says, I love Lex and Terry. I think Lex and Terry is the best morning show ever. I can't get enough of them. It's like they speak directly to me. Are you going to be super happy about that?
My comment would be, if the media came to me, it was I told you he was fucking nuts. We're not directly speaking to anybody. But you know,
Hitler thinks you are. He connects with you on a much deeper level.
Typical Lex and Terry listener. I'm half frightened and half flattered. What do you want me to say? I'm not the guy's fucking conscience because I tell dick jokes. Sorry.
But he thinks you are.
Well, hey, if this guy can turn a dick joke into I want to kill the Jews from something I said, that's not my issue. Sorry.
Oh, he's doing the whole he who cares the least thing with the Jews. And he gives you full credit for it each and every time.
Yeah, and my comment would be, I love the Jews. I have no problem with them. I don't know what the man's problem with them is, but it's... I'd find a piece of audio, please, that says we go anywhere in that direction. You won't.
When they are tattooing the Jews, they catalog them starting with the letter L and the letter T. That's the little tattoo on all of their arms, because Hitler loves you.
Sorry? I don't condone this guy's actions. I just speak through a box and he listens. What do you want me to say?
So you wouldn't in any way maybe get your lawyer to send him a cease and desist letter? And say, please stop mentioning us, Hitler.
We
don't need that.
Are you fucking kidding me? My fucking name's being shout out on Fox News all fucking day? No.
It's
we finally get the publicity we deserve. Of Entertainment Tonight going over. Yeah, listen, I don't know what fucking Hitler's getting out of us, but you've heard the song. You've heard the show. Nobody else is doing this. It's not like we have 300,000 people wanting to round up a sector of people and do things to them. It's just that guy. What do you want me to say? Besides, you should be talking to Terry. It's probably coming from him anyway.
Yes.
He'd be doing the same thing. Yeah, I need to talk to Lex about that and make sure he doesn't speak directly to Hitler anymore. I, of course, would really throw a wrench in the machine and go, actually, the guy that really reaches him is D.
Yes.
followed by Sarah, who he thinks is Eva Braun, and you know what we'll all do for pussy. If anybody's speaking directly to him, that thing is. We'd all throw each other under the bus.
Yes. Of that, I have no doubt.
If you look at Ian's haircut, he probably thinks he's following him. I don't know. Ian's got, like, the Aryan haircut.
Nice. I'm sure it looks very nice on him.
It's the Brad Pitt Fury look. But the first day he was in here with it, and I said hi, Heil Hitler to him. I was like, Jesus Christ, Ian. So is there a rally after the show today? He's like, hey, man, I got this made after Brad Pitt in the movie Fury. Yeah, he was just close to the Nazis, but he was still fighting them. No.
Angelina Jolie has sucked the life right out of Brad Pitt. Have you seen him age in the last 10 years since he's been with her?
Well, he should age. He's 50 something. It's time to age.
Yeah.
Just that time. You're fucking in your 50s. Time to age. It doesn't surprise me. Why don't you go get some more fucking kids? You know?
Yeah, they would have to adopt because she's had all of her insides yanked out and blocked off.
That really helps with things. More kids to take care of. That really unages you. You'll be young just like they are, they tell you. Bull fucking
shit. They have like a nanny for each kid, so.
Yeah, some people that have that many kids don't. That Kate plus eight or whatever the fuck her name is. She does everything herself.
I respect that. But when you have a nanny for each child, I really don't feel bad for you.
No. I feel bad for the kid. You probably got some meth smoking, you know, electric cigarette bitch, you know, just taking your kid everywhere, but that's all right, I guess. Especially when you adopted him speaking another language already.
Nice.
What the fuck could she do? We're going to the zoo right now. Kid nods his head like, okay, like I have any control over any of this.
To be a child of a celebrity where every day is a field trip someplace fabulous.
Yeah, my mom's Angelina Jolie. Shut the fuck up. You're black. That's my Biff from Back to the Future attitude. You're black, McFly. I know, but she adopted me. Oh, really? Yeah, because you know Biff from Back to the Future doesn't read any news or anything. Who's your dad, George Clooney? Close. Some girls think he's better.
At this point, no. I'm Team Clooney all the way.
It's a big fucking team, Stacy.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
I am okay with that.
My attraction to women's all over the fucking place. Age-wise, looks-wise. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with me.
I think that you are an equal opportunity luster.
I think so. I was in Whole Foods the other day, and there was a woman in there. It was early Sunday afternoon, so I'm guessing she came from church or brunch or something, but she was immaculately dressed. I mean, just looked like she took hours to get ready, wherever it is she went to. And she was just so elegantly beautiful. So I end up looking at her. I end up doing my thing. I end up in line behind her. And the girl who's brand new at the register, she had bought some wine, says, "I need to see your ID." And she goes, "Oh, honey, I'm 66. That went.
How erect was your penis?
And I just went, "Wow." She turns to me and she goes, "Wow." And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry." I said,
Did I say that out loud?
I said, "I'd just never seen a 66-year-old get carded before."
And she a nice ass.
And she says, "Yeah, it doesn't happen much." She said, "But I think she was just doing her job." And I said, "Yeah, I know." I said, "But I was guessing you were probably early 40s. And she goes,
and she took you home and banged you that very night.
She goes, "God bless you." I said, "Why not? He certainly blessed you." My God.
And then she introduced herself as Dame Helen Mirren.
She didn't even look even in the area code of Helen Mirren age wise. I mean, she was
really
a freak. I mean, just I don't know. She was just genetically and lifestyle wise somebody who really took care of themselves, but
or rich and she, paid for all that.
She carried no. There was nothing paid for. There was no too thick lips or bad eyebrow tattoos or any of that shit you can see a mile away. This chick was like Sophia Loren, Raquel Welch type material.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the classic hourglass shape and, you know, great pair of legs. Tight skirt, 66 years old. In a second.
Good for her.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's out there. I could go probably 25 to 65.
She just upped that number for you, didn't she?
Well, there's a few out there, like the Helen Mirrens and stuff like that, so I usually stop at that number. But I'd probably do Helen Mirren in 5 years.
But you put an asterisk there, just in case.
Yeah. Well, it's the retirement age. It's just a good place to stop. Unless you're the Bush administration, then we can up it to 67, so we don't have to pay you for two more years.
Yes.
Keep on rocking in the free world! So, yeah. Yeah, you know who drives me crazy is Olivia Munn.
I have looked her up before. I don't want to on my computer right now because it'll slow everything down.
It's all right. You already sound like shit anyway.
But, awesome.
Yeah.
That's not the computer.
It is. Today it is. You're getting digitized. Thanks. Digitized a lot today. But that's okay. We have to fight through these things sometimes. But the thing is, I like interesting looking women.
Like the three eyes, the boob coming off her elbow.
No, you always go there when I say stuff like that. But really, there's some women that are just interesting looking. They don't look like the blonde hair, blue eye, straight hair American chick, or the Italian American brunette. You know, they just have a different look about them. Whatever it is. I saw this brunette chick one day at Starbucks. She had freckles, and she was badass looking.
Really?
Yeah.
That's something you don't see very much anymore.
Yeah,
it's weird how they've gone away.
Not a ton of freckles, but just enough where it was like, "Say, God, that's fucking interesting." God, I'd like
I
to
hope
bang.
You didn't say that
God,
to
I'd like.
Her.
No, I didn't. God, I'd like to. God, I'd like to bang you and count those.
You are so interesting looking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the like, one thing a chick doesn't
You don't
want
to
hear
a stranger walk.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm much more direct. God, you're beautiful.
I want to count those freckles with my tongue.
Yeah.
And my penis.
Yes, because we all count with our penis.
If you do the little connect the dots. Leaving a little line of snail trail there.
It's pretty dark, Stacy, to freckle slap a bitch with my penis so we can count them. That's nice. That's really nice.
Nice. I think you just coined something.
You're a class act. Stay classy, Stacy.
Says the guy who's happy that Hitler loves him.
I'm not happy. When did I ever say that? See? You're Fox News.
Take that back.
No.
Take that back now.
No, not until you take yours
bastard.
Back.
Okay, Hitler loves you and you are okay with it.
I'm going to start calling you Shepard. Shepard Smith.
That's okay because he's like the only decent one on there.
Is he?
He is. I like Shep.
Mm, I see. Well, how nice for you then.
He is the voice of reason amongst a sea of idiots at that network.
Yeah, I don't know if he's the voice of reason. He's just not off the fucking chain like everybody else is. He doesn't give you that wink like Bill O'Reilly does. When you take care, wink. Like you give a fuck about us taking care. Shut the fuck up. You're going to go home, smoke a joint.
Oh, he's picturing his audience with the loofahs. Remember that loofah thing?
Mm-hmm.
When he like sexually harassed his intern or something?
Oh, yeah. He's the fucking worst.
He's a dirty, dirty man.
Pretty much.
And prior to him being Bill O'Reilly, he was like a high school history teacher, which he totally looks like. There's no surprise there. Put polyester slacks and a button-down, you know, a short-sleeved shirt. You've got yourself a history teacher. He's like Walter White, but not as cool.
Well, you've like heard the audiobooks of some of the shit he's written. It's epic. We got it all over our sound machine. What do you say we go get some weed and go back to my place?
He's so creepy.
Maybe the little bitch should have kept her mouth shut.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hold on a sec. Let me see if I can find this here. Hold on.
All right. Okay. I'm hoping Lex will, you know, edit this part out. Because this is an example of why I don't like talking by myself. I'm not good at it. Going back to Donald Trump quickly, Univision has pulled out of the Miss USA pageant because of, you know, the Donald making all those little dispersions about Mexicans, talking about how they're rapists and thieves and everything else when he was, you know, announcing his run for president. And he says now he's in for hundreds of millions of dollars for breaching what he says is a binding 5-year deal to air the Miss USA pageant. Donald says Univision had no legal right to back out of the deal based on his comments about Mexico and Mexicans, saying many of them who come here are drug dealers and rapists. Trump says the contract, which was signed in January of this year, is ironclad.
Yeah, NBC doesn't care. Now, you ready to hear Bill O'Reilly on audiobooks?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Here you go.
Maybe the little bitch had come to her senses.
Okay, that's one of them. We were using these for 900 numbers.
Let's get out of here. I have some really good weed back at the hotel. Bottom line, you're gone. It wasn't fresh last time. I want it fresh. The pink house. The pink house. Speaking. A gas leak. Geez, they're going to need a blotter to pick her up. Charming the pants right off her.
Yeah, we used to call 900 numbers with him. Some good stuff on there.
It's just creepy.
I know.
I actually felt my vagina dry up.
Yeah. He's a creepy guy. When we had him on right after he left Inside Edition, and this was going back to like 98, somewhere around there, and we had him on, and this is before all the Fox News stuff and everything, and we used to go down to Harry Hines and get hookers and bring them on and talk to them, and they were on the way out when he was coming in for the interview, and it's like through the whole thing he's like, "So, where'd you get those hookers?" It's like on Harry Hines, he goes, "Is that like a regular thing?" I said, "Hookers? Yeah, that's a pretty regular thing." He goes,
"They've been around for thousands of years."
He goes, "No, I mean, Harry Hines, is that the place?" And I'm like, "Oh, that's one of the places we get them. It's a pretty big town. I'm sure there's others." But you already know that, don't you?
And that's when he pulls his wallet out and gives you 5 business cards of other places with much better hookers.
But, yeah, it wouldn't have surprised me. Let's put it that way. But it just the smarm, the large amounts of smarm coming off that guy.
Perfect. That is a perfect way to describe him. He is smarmy. He's smug. You just want to smush his face. He's not in a good way.
He's amazingly smug. And smarmy. And just, you feel like, most of all, you don't feel like he's not a nice guy, because he is. You know, but he's, you just get the feeling you could never get real with him. You know, like have a real conversation. You just know right away. Don't even try. Don't even think about it. I don't even think the people closest to him in his life have had a real conversation with him. He's that obtuse and that guarded and that clueless. That's my take on it anyway.
I kind of agree with you. That's kind of my feeling on him, too. And I've never met him personally.
But I don't get a super sinister feeling off of him like I did Sean Hannity.
See, now Sean Hannity would get the hookers and then kill them.
Yeah, because they look like his mother.
Ew. And then he takes a little piece of skin off their back and makes a purse out of it.
He wanted to use our studio in Jacksonville, and we wouldn't let him.
For what?
He was coming to Jacksonville to do his show.
Good for you. Get all that Hannity stank all over it.
It wasn't because of his content or his show. It's just we didn't want any other producers fucking with all our buttons and coming in the next morning and everything all jacked up all over the fucking place. You know, that's...
You should have said, do you guys know how many times we have farted in microphones? But yeah, sure, go ahead, use our studio. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, yeah, there's Ebola all over the fucking place in here, but go right ahead. So yeah, it's... Fox News. I just don't care for it that much. You know, a lot of people watch it. I understand where they're coming from. I understand who their audience is and why they pander to it and everything. MSNBC does the same thing.
Yes.
CNN
is just ineffective.
With my opinion, MSNBC does it with much less interesting people.
Except for Rachel. I love Rachel.
Rachel's all right.
Lawrence, I would go full-on lesbian for Rachel.
Lawrence O'Donnell's a bore.
Yes.
Al Sharpton... I'm just
gonna... Gets turned off immediately.
Yeah. I mean, the guy still doesn't know what camera to look at after 5 years. You know, it's...
Yes.
And he has the dubious honor of following one of the most brilliant minds on TV in Chris Matthews. A guy who can recite U.S. history from the beginning to now flawlessly. And whether you think he's a little too liberal for your views or not, just put that aside and just look at the guy for his brain. He's just a fucking brainiac.
And he looks like an adorable little Peanuts cartoon character. I don't know. He just has like a little cartoon look about him.
I have never seen the guy lose an argument. Ever.
I have to pit him against you.
I truly believe... No thanks. I truly believe he could take your side and you take his and he'll still beat you. He's that good.
Right.
You know, and it's like I love going up to elections and having the other side come on and talk to him about stuff and they just get their ass handed to him. And this happens on a daily basis, and then Al Sharpton comes on.
Yes.
It's like, I don't know who has the sense of humor, you know, on the, you know, as the program manager for MSNBC, but it's a damn good one. I just picture them in the room 6-7 years ago going, okay, everybody just hang with me here. Here's who follows Chris. You know what? Guess first. And I'm totally serious about this, too. Just guess. No, he's too good. No, he's too good, too. Everybody you're going to come up with is too good. You're never even going to come up with the guy I'm going to put here. Reverend Al Sharpton. Who's with me? Half the room's like a follower, so they're like, oh, it's a great idea, boss. Yeah. The other half of the room's like, I so want to see you fired. Yes, do this. That's how Al Sharpton got on.
Oh, I guess I have to send out resume to fucking Fox News now.
That's how Al Sharpton got on there. The half of the room that hated the fucking program manager was like, oh, yeah. I think this will be your signature move in your career. No doubt about it.
The great Al Sharpton, yeah. Chris Matthews.
Yeah. Al Sharpton following Chris Matthews. Well, okay. Is there a bet somewhere that Chris Matthews is so good that anybody can follow him? Is that the bet? Because I want in on this. I'm not so sure. For one thing, you know, it's like Fox News knows their product, knows their place. They have all the right people in all the right places. That's why their ratings are so much better. I mean, it just is. You know, when MSNBC had it going on and they had Olbermann, Maddow, you know, Chris Matthews, their ratings were through the fucking roof. And it's also while Obama's presidential run was going on. You know, it's just all the right things were all in the right places, and they haven't been since. As soon as they let Olbermann go, which I understand he was a giant pain in the ass, but they should have done anything possible to keep him.
See, he makes me mad because even from just a simply sports standpoint, I would watch him. I like Keith Olbermann, like his on-air presentation. From what it sounds like, he's just a horrible person to work with and work for. But, you know, from an entertainment news sports standpoint, I really like him.
Yeah, he's actually the best of the best, but his own personality gets in the way.
Yes.
From what
he fucks himself every time.
From what I understand, at almost every job he's worked at.
Yes.
And, you know, of course he went to Current TV. You know, they paid him an arm and a leg to anchor that and turn them into something. And he immediately goes on the air and starts talking about how Bush League all their equipment is and all that stuff. It's like, dude, what the fuck do you care? They're paying you $5 million a year to deal with
it. He was only there like a couple months, wasn't he? I mean, it was right after he got fired from MSNBC.
Yeah, because he went on the air. He had to take a year off after NBC. He goes on the air and immediately starts, you know, because it's current. It's new. It's not the staff or the writers at MSNBC. It's just not the same. But that's why they're paying him.
Their whole point of putting him on, the one who's giving legitimacy to their product.
Yeah, I'm sure they had to talk with him. Keith, it's not the same equipment. It's not the same caliber of people. We'll grow this thing together. We're going to pay you handsomely to be part of that process. You know, and I'm sure that conversation was had. And immediately he starts just throwing people under the bus on the air.
Which, who wouldn't love to have that opportunity? I mean, you know, if you are a news person, sports person, you know, a DJ, a radio person, whoever, if you are given the opportunity to have your own channel, that you are the
focal
point. If it's basically about you and everyone else is just along for the ride, how awesome is that? Especially after getting fired from ESPN and MSNBC and every place else, you know?
You know who had a great take on it, and he was so classy about it, but at the same time patted himself on the back? Do you know who Chris Berman is?
Yes.
Well, he started ESPN. He was like the original anchor. I mean, at one time he was on everything because they didn't have the money to pay anybody.
Kind of like Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah. I mean, every cable network has that guy, you know. And he said, you know, I was younger than Keith was at the time, but I was given an opportunity to turn ESPN into something, and now it's the biggest sports and entertainment network in the world, and I'm still here, I'm still part of it, and I was an integral, huge part of it getting to where it is, and I've been rewarded financially for that. I've been rewarded with loyalty for that, and He said, I wish Keith would have looked at my career and realized what could have happened for him.
I don't honestly even take that as patting yourself on the back. That is a wealth of knowledge and wisdom that only comes from someone having put in the time in all those years and getting the money and the loyalty and all of that.
Well, the only reason I said that was the last statement he made was he goes, you know, he could have been me.
Okay.
Yeah. But it didn't come off as I'm the greatest. It just said, you know, he could have been the face of current TV, and in 10 or 15 years, when it's a legitimately well-placed news organization, you know, which I truly believe it would have been had it not gone bankrupt. You know, I truly believe it would have been the best of the best, because they were not afraid to report things as is. So
we need that so bad.
Yeah, I mean, there is a place for that. Unfortunately, you know, the sponsors have political allegiances and stuff like that, and they have a way of making you lean certain ways when it starts looking at bottom lines and stockholders and things like that. But I truly believe there's one that can hold their ground and, you know, get the sponsors and just say, hey, we tell it both ways. You know, like the Trump Neil.
If you're one of
like
those few people who are, I was going to say, looking for as middle of the road, non-biased news that you can find, Al Jazeera,
yeah.
I think.
They at this juncture, they are it. But just by their name, you know, people don't trust it.
They're scary because they sound all Arab, which they are. But there's Al Jazeera English, and guess what? It's like white people who are actually running that and stuff, you know. But they deal with all around the world. You'll find out things that are going on that, honestly, you kind of sit back and go, holy shit, I had no idea that was even an issue. It's amazing what we aren't told in news here in the United States when there's so much going on in the rest of the world.
Yeah. We will spend more time on domestic news than world news than any other country. Everybody knows what's going on here. We don't know what's going on there. Unless we... people like you and I, you know, take the time to search it out and see it for ourselves.
It amazes me that people in other countries can, like, tell you the names of the United States, like, you know, the 50 states. Like, oh, I know where Michigan is. And it's like, really? Because now I'll tell you where London is, you know, in the UK. Well, I would have to look at a map and kind of search around for it. You know, it's just... they know, the rest of the world knows so much more about us, and we just don't give a shit about anything else that's happening.
Well, they need to know where the terrorist cells are, so yeah, they know all this.
Yeah.
But, just kidding. But it saddens me when I watch our news, because it's got so much fluff in it. It's got so much YouTube shit that we've all seen, you know, just about yes. Every kicker story anybody that searches the web looks at each other and goes, you know, Lisa, who doesn't watch news at all, will look over at me half the time on a kicker story and go, yeah, I saw that on Facebook about a week ago. And it's like, wow, if you saw it, it's out there.
Well, you know, thinking back, like, you take, like, the morning news programs, like the Today Show, Good Morning America. I can remember even as a kid, like with Jane Pauley, that always does tend to be fluffier because you're waking up. I mean, yeah, they would cover news stories and stuff, but it was an entirely different feel to it than, like, you know, the NBC Nightly News.
Oh, yeah,
with
well,
David Bruno, those guys.
Yeah, well, that used to be serious business. You know, the
exactly.
Six
but
o'clock.
Everything is morning news now. Everything is fluffy and it's just. Ugh.
Yeah, you can plug any time of day in anywhere, and it won't feel uncomfortable anymore, which is too bad. Because I remember when this trend started, I felt uncomfortable at 6 o'clock at night. Like, man, there's a lot you're not telling me. There's a lot. For one thing, the fact our national news is 30 minutes long is fucked up. That should be like an hour, you know, every single night. Easy.
But, well, I can tell you, I tried listening, and I just didn't have the time for it. But since we were talking about podcasts that we listened to in the last podcast, the BBC does a half-hour podcast twice a day. I think it's like at noon and then at midnight, and they put it out. And if you want to hear, if you want to be thrown back to, like, you know, the days when it was David Brinkley and stuff, listen to that BBC News podcast. It is straight news. It is just fascinating, like, how different it is than the news that we are fed here in the United States. It's real news. It's just amazing how different it is. Yeah. You actually have to listen and pay attention. And, my God, I don't understand what they just meant. You know, it's like...
Yeah, it makes you go look shit up and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about the Netanyahu speech that he came here and did, courtesy of our Congress. And there was a lot of backstabbing and back dealings and bad feelings about that that got alluded to but not really tracked down. And I just thought to myself, man, this is a huge story. Nobody's ever done this to a president before. I'd really like to think somebody would look into what the ramifications of doing this to a president is.
Right.
Because, you know, in the old days, you do this to a president, it's veto, 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 fuck you. Fuck you. Don't even have a meeting. Fuck you.
Bay of Pigs, motherfucker.
You know, and you'd see it on the fucking TV. You know, you'd see Kennedy and Nixon and all these guys go, don't even bother. I am vetoing this. You just stay in your fucking big leather chair and watch the golf tournament. Don't even get out of your fucking pompous house because I'm vetoing this. And the message would be loud and clear that you're going to be made to be the bad guy if you're in Congress, right, or the House or Senate or whatever. Doesn't happen anymore because the news isn't structured that way anymore. Fox News will insulate those guys for doing that. MSNBC will try to, you know, make villains out of the people that did it, but with their low audience, they don't care.
Right. I know, and it's so sad.
Yeah. And then the rest of it's just straight news, so nobody really knows what the deal is. But I guarantee you, I mean, you can look on the record itself. There isn't much getting done in the White House for Congress since that happened. You know, maybe Obama's low-key about it. Maybe that's just not the way he rolls, but, man, I remember presidents going, you know, just spitting fire when somebody would try and do something like that to them.
Right.
I mean, you don't cross Richard Nixon like that.
What?
Without
why couldn't President Bartlett be a real person?
Well, because if you watch The West Wing, there really wasn't a whole lot in it about him being, until the later episodes, about him being challenged on anything. It was all about the dynamics of inside the house, you know, for the most part. You know, only when it got to the later seasons did they start bringing in, you know, Donald Sutherland looking guys going, you know, challenging him on everything.
Wasn't Alan Alda on later?
Oh, yeah. Alan Alda is another one. He's always a good political bad guy. Donald Sutherland, Alan Alda, the guy who played Dracula, Ben, big fucking dude. Frank Langella.
Okay.
He always plays like a Republican, you know, warmonger dude.
Is there any other kind, though?
Yeah. Republican. And, yeah, so President Bartlett is a figment of all of our imaginations. A sensible, compassionate, powerful, quick-thinking, decisive leader of good people?
There were two parts in that show. First one, I think, was the first season. To this day, if I still like watch this episode, I am just sobbing in tears. It's the Christmas episode with the homeless guy who turns out to be like this decorated veteran, and they have a funeral for him so that he can be buried at Arlington. And during this, he's like buried on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, but nobody shows up except for, I think, Leo and Mrs. Landaham. And the Harlem Boys Choir is singing Little Drummer Boy. Oh, my God. It's just the worst. I'm a wreck after that episode. And then the scene after Mrs. Landaham dies, when Martin Sheen goes to the cathedral and has that little chat with God.
Yeah.
And lights the sick cathedral and start. Oh my God, that should have been. It's too bad he couldn't, like, you know, be nominated for an Oscar for that. That was just incredibly powerful.
Yeah, one of the greatest actors of our time, Martin Sheen was. He didn't get the due.
Yes.
He didn't get. He's kind of a tweener in the glory of the Oscars. You know, the bulk of his career, the hardworking genius part of his career was at a time when the Oscars didn't mean much. Movies didn't mean much. You know, TV was 70s and early 80s TV was king. And he was on just about
Stephen J. Cannell.
and he was on just about everything. Bad guys, good guys.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean he was on everything. And I just remember always going, God, what a great fucking actor this guy is. I really thought he should have gotten an Oscar for The Dead Zone.
I've never seen that.
I thought he was that good in it. Yeah, it's
really.
Yeah, that one point where he needed another guy in his administration's hand on the scanner so he could press the button and kill everybody. Yeah, you know, it's just like it zeroes in on his face. He goes, now put your fucking hand on the scanner. Remember, I cut it off and put it on there for you. And he's just like got sweat and spit and his hair's all over, wild and all over the fucking place. He's got this crazy Charlie Sheen look on his face, you know, because he's his dad. You know,
minus the meth.
Yeah, minus the meth. And he's just, I'm just like, oh, God, that's intense, man.
Have you seen Frankie and Johnny? What is it? No, what's it called? Grace and Frankie on Netflix?
I haven't seen that yet.
I watched it. I enjoyed it just because, to me, it is just so much fun hearing Lily Tomlin go off on one of her cursing sprees. But he's in it, and he and Sam Waterston are the gay couple, and they're just really sweet seeing these two old chubby guys who love each other. And, you know, he's very natural as a gay man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's not a sexual part, so it's easy.
There's kissing, and it's there's no sex that they show. I mean, they'll show them in bed, but it's like literally laying side by side on their backs, talking kind of thing. But it's the intimate things of just like brushing each other's kind of face, you know, just the stuff that you do that usually you don't show gay couples doing because they're too involved in like showing them having sex or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The TV networks in there, you know, immaturity have to get that point across. No, they're not possibly gay. We got to make sure they know they're gay for sure. So yeah, let's shave their chest and have them get it on. Yeah, because that's how stereotypical we are. But anyway, Stacey, we've run out of time. Great podcast today. I wish your internet shit was working a little better, but that's okay. I pretty much, as well as everybody else, caught the gist, you know, 99% of the time, I'm sure, what you're throwing down with. And you'll hear for yourself when I put it up online.
Awesome.
But good time today. Enjoy your family this weekend. I know you got stuff going on, so have fun.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
I will talk to you in the next podcast, number 64.
Woohoo. Bye-bye. Yes, that's correct.
Bye-bye.
Bye.